4:5, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Father, we give you praise for Jesus and how you were kind enough to send him here, Lord, that we can have forgiveness of sin. And so, Lord, as we endeavor into the new year, we're mindful of our theme, which is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. So, Lord, we're asking that you do big things in our lives, that when people look at our lives, they can't help but say, there must be someone working their life to have going on what they have going on. And it's you, Lord. And so, Lord, we still have family and friends trying to make their way to church yet. Family and friends who couldn't get out today. And so no matter what, Lord, we just ask that you be with our friends and family. We love you, Jesus. And today and every day is always and ever about you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
With Psalm 145, being just all out praise for our Lord, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to sing and praise our Lord. And that's a common theme in all the songs this morning. And in the very first line in the song, you're going to hit a word called extol him. And extol just simply means to praise. It might be a little more voracious praise, but if you extol him, you are praising him. So we're going to start with Jesus as King. Let's go ahead and stand this morning and sing to our Lord. Good. You may be seated. Let's go back to our Lord in prayer, please. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for giving us your word and for giving us the Old Testament and the New Testament and being the same throughout it. If we hear something, Father, that contradicts any of your word, then please help us recognize that so that we can search your word and find the real answer and your real desire and the real truth. Thank you, Father, for being faithful. You never waver. You are the same. You are the same in the summer, the winter, the springtime, and the harvest. We thank you for your care for us. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, who is our hope, and who gives us grace. We pray for those that are still trying to get here this morning, and we pray for those that are listening online. And we just pray for all the little children everywhere to come to know you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
There is no
with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses along, join with all nature with manifold witness. Great is thy faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I mentioned that Psalm 145 is one big reason to praise him. I believe that there's 21 verses in that verse or in that psalm, and they all talk of praising him. So we're going to sing a song now that is called That's Why We Praise Him, and it has many of those reasons in it. I'm going to take a little drink here.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show us power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king. He gave his everything, because he gave his everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering king and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king. Because he gave his everything. Because he gave his everything.
That's why we praise him.
That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king. Because he gave his everything. He gave his everything.
We're going to go to communion time this morning with a song that talks about Jesus' life from his birth to his death and the fact that he's coming again, I believe. So let's stand as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high.
lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Seated as the men come forward for communion.
There's one song that always comes to my mind, crazy, crazy, all the little children. But why would you praise someone who's young? And most of all, why would you praise someone who has died? The little children, they are a gift from God, most of all. And even though they don't know what they are to do, we must train them and to teach them to be obedient to you, the parents, and most of all, to be obedient to God. But how can we teach them if we're not obedient to God? One way is by seeking out His word and seeking out His love. The love is the grace that He gives us to teach us His love, most of all, so we can understand His love and His grace. But even though so many times we still sin, God still gives us grace if we ask Him for forgiveness. It's not always. It's not always that He gives us grace. He wants us to learn from His grace and to follow His grace and to praise Him in our heart. For our heart is deceitful and can lead us astray. But if we put His praise in our heart, we can always learn to love Him. And most of all, we learn to serve Him in the way He wants us to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you gave us your Son, which in a long way was you. Let us all open up our hearts and our minds to what He has done and what He will do for us if we just seek Him. In Jesus' name, amen. gave us your everything. Most of all, you gave us your son to die on the cross. That's all we wanted to give back to you so you can follow your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Still back there, Jeff? Page still back there? All right, see if you can reduce some easy worship down to our main screen when you're down to our desktop. And make sure my mic's on, please. All right, so this past week, Jess asked a great question of me. We were at home together speaking, and he has started a reading plan, which I encourage you, the reading plans are on the back table back here. If you hadn't had a chance to read through the scriptures, it's a great way to help you throughout the new years to be disciplined, if you will, to read the scriptures. Let's read this verse together. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One more time. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The past several years, we've established a theme for Sheridan Christian Church when it comes to living out scripture throughout the year. Jess and I are at the kitchen table this week, and he asked a question. What does it mean to live is Christ? What does it mean? And so I think that's an abstract question because sometimes that's hard to answer. And so the only way that you and I know to live is Christ is to know who? Christ. It's to know him, period. And so I just want to encourage you as you contemplate the realities of moving forward into the new year. We always have these new things for the new year, right? But what if you and I really were diligent and saying, you know what, Jesus, I really want to get to know you. I really want to get to know you. And as you get to know Jesus, guess what you'll live? You'll live Christ. That's what you'll do. So we pause at this part of our service so that way we can have an opportunity to train ourselves what it looks like in a day-to-day basis to live out Christ because we get to know him. So we're quiet, we're silent, we're picturing Jesus in our mind, we're engaging with our hearts, and we're just trying to comprehend, if you will, what it means to know him. Jesus, we love you, and we give you praise for being so kind to be here with us. Jesus, we'd all have to admit that we forget you on a day-to-day basis. We don't always spend the time that we must, and so please forgive us for that. But Lord, we want to endeavor to persevere in spending time with you. Not a drudgery, not a chore, but a desire. And so, Lord, put it in our heart to desire you all the more, to spend time with you, sitting quietly, just enjoying your presence, to be in your word, to be around your people. Because, Lord, when it comes to the end of all things, what matters is you. And so help us to be those people, Lord, that make it very evident you matter. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, Paige, we'll go to our sermon time now. Hey, if you got your Bibles, go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. We have had a great time in the book of Psalms, if you will, these past weeks. This is our last message in the book of Psalms. Next week, I pray that we can get to Romans. We're going to try to go through Romans this next coming year. So that'll be a fun time. I've been here several years, 16 plus years, and we've never preached through Romans yet. So we're going to have a good time with that for one another. So I think this is true. You can probably tell me I'm wrong or off my rocker. I think this is true. I think King David had a cell phone. I think he did. I think he had a cell phone. Because as I looked through the text this week, I found 4 G's in the text. Obviously, I had some help from a guy, but I'll share his name later. But there were 4 G's I found in the Psalm 145, and I thought, wow, this has now been almost 3 weeks ago. I was ill last week. But I think David might have had a cell phone. And you probably remember those days of cell phone service. I've been here long enough in Worth County to recognize that cell phones have changed. Has your cell phone changed over the years? My cell phone has changed over the years. Vern's has never changed. I want to share with you that. His has never changed. Still got the flip phone, right, Vern? That's right. But Vern does get on YouTube. I'm impressed with that. So as you think about the cell phone day as 4G, 4G means that there's been 4 evolutions of cell phone service over the years. And what does that mean? Well, over the years, like I said, we've had cell phones change. And so in the 1980s, we had first generation cell phones. I want to kind of share a couple thoughts with you. Anybody remember those old cell phones up there on the screen? Anybody remember those? Okay. I used to have a bag phone and I threw it away. I thought, boy, that'd be great if I could have had that right now. This is the closest thing that we have to a bag phone on the screen right here. That's like a 1G service. And you could speak phone to phone, and that was a 1G service. And then over the years, things have kind of changed. So when you got to the 90s, you went to like a 2G phone. 2G phone was like these phones right here. Remember the Nokia phones? Remember the Nokia phones we all had? We used to play Snake with Nokia phones. If you remember, they playing Snake with the Nokia phones. Okay, some of you are going, what are you talking about? Well, we started early, I guess, and playing games on phones. Then we had the razors, the flip phones. All those phones have changed over the years. Then we went to like a 3G, and a 3G phone, it allowed you the opportunity to even connect to the internet. That was a 3G phone. And the 3G phone appears kind of like, I don't see any iPhones up here. Maybe like this one right here. That's like a 3G phone. You could text, you can call, and then you can engage the internet. I can remember before we had our SEC texting, I would text 25 people using a flip phone. That's how I would do it, using a flip phone. And so I would find the shortest Bible verse possible. And I'd try to text all those 25 people, and I have to do it in 2 different groups. And it took me almost 15 minutes to a half hour to text 25 people a single verse. And so that's why it's so much easier to text people now with their SEC text. So things have really changed. Now, 4G is where we are now as people. 4G is the same thing as what we call LTE, which means long-term evolution, meaning that the phones have had long-term evolution since 1G. And cell phones are continuing to evolve. And I tell you, for me, I became an EMT here. And when I went from a flip phone to 4G, that has really helped my ability to be an EMT in our county. So 4G has its benefits, and it's been one of those great things that has really helped me in day-to-day life. So things have changed when it comes to phones. Now, I'm going to share with you, and you know this is true, David did not have a cell phone, okay? King David did not. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. King David did not have a cell phone. But there are 4 G's in Psalm 145 today that I think is pertinent for us to understand. You and I, in order to use our cell phone, okay, if you got an iPhone, all right, up in the left-hand corner of your iPhone, right-hand corner of your iPhone, you're going to see bars. What do those bars represent? Signal strength or connection, okay? I've got 2 bars here. I've got tower signal, and I've also got a Wi-Fi signal. That means that if I want to use my phone, I've got to stay what? Connected to it in order to use it, okay? And so for you and I, if you and I want to have a relationship with God, what must we do? Stay connected to the Lord. That's what we must do. If you have a desire to stay in a relationship with Him, you've got to have that. So here's a thought for you. As you and I contemplate the reality of these 4G connections that you and I must have daily for a deeper connection with God, the thought for us is this: what are the 4 G's of our relationship with God? What are the 4 G's of our relationship with God? And again, I used a guy that over the past few weeks, James Smith. He has a commentary on Psalms. And this is what he pointed out to me. He says, there's 4 G's in Psalm 145. God's goodness, God's greatness, God's glory, and God's grace. Okay? God's goodness, God's greatness, God's glory, and God's grace. And so as you and I contemplate the four G's of Psalm 145, we're going to have that opportunity to connect and see what those mean. So if you've got your Bibles, again, Psalm 145, looking at verses 1 through 6 is where we're going to start now. Psalm 145, easy book to find the Bible. All you got to do is grab your Bible, crack it in half, and you will find the book of Psalms. I guarantee it. And if you can't find it, I will come over to you and help you do that. Psalm 145, starting in verse 1. Stay connected to the greatness of God. Stay connected to the greatness of God. Notice the first four words of Psalm 145. I will, what?
Exalt you.
You know, there's something you exalt every day. Seriously, there is. There's something you exalt every day. If you think about that reality for your own life, you ascribe greatness to something in your everyday life. You do that. And you say, well, I'm not sure, preacher. I am sure of it because I do the same thing. You may not recognize it, but you can tell it by your actions that you exalt something or have greatness, assign something greatness in every day of your life. Well, what does that look like? Well, here's what it looks like. There's something that you continuously do every single day, or you're drawn to it because it has great benefit to your life. Because it has great benefit to your life, you're drawn to it, you want to do it, and you keep after it, okay? You're assigning greatness to it. You spend money on it. You devote time to it. You tell others about it. And whatever that is what you consider great. And so you contemplate the words of David. Here's what he says is great. Here's what he says is great, okay? I look at David's words in Psalm 145, verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Now, David, who's he speaking to? He's speaking directly to God. And he says, God, I'm going to exalt you for how long? Forever and ever. And calls him King at one point in the text. And so, again, something in your life is King. You have something King in your life right now. Is it the right thing? Here's how you can tell what's King in your life. You're drawn to it. You give money to it. You spend time with it. And you tell others about it. And if anything fits those four things, that's the King of your life. And so as you contemplate David, David names our God as King and desires to praise his name forever and ever. And so what could possibly inspire a man to praise our God forever and ever as King? Look in verse 2. He says this, every day, how often? Every day, I will praise you and extol your name for how long? Forever and ever. You know you're praising the right King when you get up in the morning and you want to ascribe greatness to God. How often? Every day. Every day. For how long? Yes, you're right, Jim. Forever and ever. Verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You know you are praising the right King and his greatness when you not only want to do that every day, but you see the greatness of our God is worthy of praise. Think about this. And as you contemplate the greatness of God, as you contemplate the greatness of God in your mind, you can't even fathom it. Your mind is blown as you think about the greatness of God. That's how you know that God has been your King and God is the one who's great in your life. Look at verse 4. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Let me ask you a question. How did you get to church today? How did you get to church today? Some people are saying, I'm not in church. I'm at home. Okay. Let's maybe phrase it a different way. How did you come to know Jesus? Who?
My parents.
Your parents.
My parents.
Your parents. Wow, three generations right there. Did you see that? You see, as you look at the text again, look in that verse 3 again, 4. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell your mighty acts. There's a reason you came to have faith in Jesus Christ. It's because someone before you did what? Told you. Someone before you told you something about Jesus, and you listened, you repented of sin, and said, I'm going to know Jesus as well. And so when you and I have people before us share the greatness of God, that means you and I are also proclaiming the greatness of God. Like with, and when Ashley just spoke, that's three generations. One, two, and three. Three generations right here in church praising God because one generation praises the greatness of God to another generation. You would not be here were it not for the greatness of God. And the generation before you saying something about it. That's how come you're here. Look in Psalm 145, 5 through 6. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Do you know what generations of people do that have experienced God? They talk about him. They say, you know what God did for me? I can remember when we became Christians, and then God called us into the ministry to the Show Me Christian Youth Home. I thought, I've got to write this down. And so I wrote down how God was so great in our lives, all the great things he did in our life. And as I wrote it down, I found that little book has become handy. I've been able to hand that book to people over the years, and they read that book about the greatness of God. And as you and I experience a God, here's what's going to happen. We begin to speak about the glorious majesty of our God and how he's been kind to us in so many ways. And that's why this church exists today. Generations of people before you have attended church here. Any idea when this church was started? 1887. Are we much bigger than the folks in 1887 as far as congregation size? I don't care. Here's what matters. You're here. Those people chose to follow Christ. Those people chose to repent of their sin, and when they did, they became a church. They started a church here, and we're still doing church from 1887. Generations of people have been coming to church here. And when the awesomeness, think about this, when the awesomeness of God touches our heart, okay, when the awesomeness of God touches our heart, we cannot help but talk about him. We cannot help but talk about the awesomeness of God in our heart. So think about this. To have a deeper connection with our God means you must meditate on the greatness of his wonderful works. That's what he says here. Look again, he says, I will meditate on your wonderful works. There's a wonderful couple I've gotten to get to know this past year. Not here today, but I'm a Snapchat follower of her. And consistently, she puts sunrises and sunsets on Snapchat as she goes to and from work. And that tells me something about her heart. That when she takes that picture, she's a Christian. And when she takes that picture, what is she doing? She's capturing the wonderful works of our God. Think about this as well. As you reflect on being given a gift of that one person or several persons in your life, who gave you that gift? The greatness of God gave you that one person or that several persons in your life. Think about this morning. Do this with me. Take a breath. Who gave you that breath? That's the greatness of God who gave you your breath today. God gave you a pulse. God gave you the ability to think, reason. That's the greatness of God. As you think about a child and you peer into the face of a child, that's maybe not crying or angry, but as you peer into the face of a child, I think you're peering in the face of the greatness of God. As you contemplate God's willfulness to have a son hang on that cross and forgive you of your sin, that is the greatness of God. Okay? So here's a thought for you. Listen. Start staying connected to our God, the greatness of God, by doing this. Start meditating. Meditating. David's meditating. Meditating means to what? Think. Okay? Use your brain. Think. Maybe make new pathways of thought that you hadn't considered before. Start meditating on the reality that is the greatness of God that allows you to experience what is most important to you. That's the greatness of God. He allows you to experience what's most important to you. Start meditating on that. The second point we're making today about staying connected in that 4G network, if you will, with our God is this. Stay connected. Next screen there, Jeff's going to be image 6. Stay connected to the goodness of God. Stay connected to the goodness of God. Our children had a saying growing up, and this saying was quite powerful. Let's see if they can remember it. Our children had a saying that says, God is good all the time. And so we said that. God is good. I see Paige handing these out. We need more of these, Paige? They're not right? Okay. It's the old message. Doggone it. That's too bad. What's that? One more left? Okay. We're going to have to fire the church secretary, who happens to be the guy in front of you. Anyway, so I'm going to say it again just for the fun of it. If you didn't get a message, raise your hand. Paige will get it to you. So here he is one more time. God is good. And all the time, God is good. So the reason we say these things is because of this. Well, let me ask you first the reason. Quick question. Here it is. Do you believe God is good? I'm going to ask it again. Do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is good all the time?
Yes.
And so as you contemplate that reality, some people struggle with that. And so here's what it means for us to experience the goodness of God. Okay? Look in verse 7. Look in verse 7. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Look, people who know the goodness of God, don't miss this. People who know the goodness of God have experienced the righteousness of God. People know the goodness of God when they experience the righteousness of God. This is very powerful for us. Now, people know the righteousness of God when they understand there is nothing good enough in themselves to make them right with God. Don't miss that. There's nothing within you to make you right with God. Nothing. And people experience the goodness of God when he makes them righteous to be in a right relationship with him. See what they say in verse 7 again? They joyfully sing of your righteousness. People acknowledge the goodness of God when they recognize there's nothing good in them that will make them right with God, that only God can make them right with God. People say, man, that's good. I'm so glad God did that for me. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Look, people know the goodness of God when they experience the grace and compassion of God. And people know the grace and compassion of God when they realize they deserve God's anger. But instead, they receive what? Love. You get that? People know the goodness of God when they realize they deserve God's anger, but instead they receive his love, compassion and love. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. People know the goodness of God when they realize that God is impartial and is good to all. And experience, listen, people experience the goodness of God when they see his compassion, when they see his compassion on everything he has made, everything. People experience the goodness of God. Look in verse 10. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. Look, people who are faithful to God, people who are faithful to God, praise God for his goodness. Saints are those people set apart by God. And these people are bent on praising God because they've experienced his goodness. So look, we're staying connected with the goodness of God. Here's how we're going to do that, you and I together. All right? Listen up. Start believing in your heart that God is good. There are some times in your life you do not believe that because you do that. When that happens, repent of that thought. You've got to start believing that God is good. Okay? Start thinking in your mind that God is good. It's one thing to believe it, but you also got to think it. And so sometimes there's quite a distance between your heart and your head. Both got to be in sync. So start thinking in your mind that God is good. Start thinking that. When you have a thought that goes through your mind that God isn't good, you've got to repent of that thought and say, nope, God's good. That's not from God how I'm thinking that way. Choose to praise God with your mouth. There are things you do with your mouth that I'm sure your mother would blush over. Stop it. Quit it. Use your mouth for what God's designed your mouth to use for. Choose to praise God with your mouth because you believe, know, and have experienced the goodness of God when he saved you from your sin. This is a mouth that praises God. You know what? I have been saved from my sin. I'm going to use my mouth to praise God. Change the way you think. Change your heart and how you believe. And what comes out of your mouth is going to be the goodness of God. Third thing today is this. Stay connected to the glory of God. Stay connected to the glory of God. Great friend of mine, Gail and Karen Kohler. Gail, of course, has gone on to be with the Lord, and Karen is nearing that time now. But when we were at the Show Me Christian Youth Home, Gail and Karen, of course, were there for a number of years, and we would travel with Gail and Karen, our family would. And Gail was always a great joke teller. He'd always tell all sorts of great jokes. And usually the butt of his jokes was his wife, Karen. He would say things about that woman. I thought, I don't know how that woman deals with that, but she would just laugh and chuckle, and the crowd would just have a hoot with it. I remember I tried it one time with my wife, and we got down to the service that day, and my wife says, I'm not Karen. Do not do that again. But Gail said something consistently. He said something consistently that he said for almost every time we went out to every church, he said this, because we'd go out and do promotions. We'd promote the children's ministry. And he'd say this, and he'd been married to Karen for 50 plus years. And he would say this. He says, my wife looks just as glorious as the day I married her. It just takes her longer to get that way. And I'd go, how's he get away with that? But as you think about the reality of God and his glory, look, there is a beauty in God that is hard to understand. And this is one of those sermons that's really challenging, because I will never be able to convey in my own words what it means to have, to see, and behold the glory of God. It can't happen. I'm a frail, frantic, and frantic person when it comes to trying to convey to you the glory of God. But the beauty or glory of God is ethereal. God's glory is above or beyond the earth. The earth, the Bible says, the earth cannot contain or describe the glory of God. God's beauty or glory is eternal. I can have a sermon for 2 hours and never come to the ending point of God's glory. His glory has no end. God's beauty or glory is encapsulated. I think this is why I have tears now. Because I know that when I step through that threshold into glory, how much of my being is going to be captured by God? So God's glory is ethereal, God's glory is eternal, and God's glory is encapsulated. It just captures all of me. If you read the scriptures, and I encourage you to do so, when men experience the glory of God, you can see men like Daniel. Look like Daniel, like Daniel 9 and 10. When Daniel was in the presence of the glory of God, he says he fell down like a dead man and made him sick. When John, in the book of Revelation, was on the island of Patmos, he couldn't even stand upright because God's glory was so powerful in his life. It just encapsulated him. And when Moses, you may remember Moses in Exodus 33, asked to see the glory of God, and God said, I've got to hide you where, Moses? I've got to hide you in the cleft of the rock. Because if you're exposed to my glory, you will die. I can't possibly convey to you the glory of God. God's glory has been described as a consuming fire. God's glory has been described as a cloud that when people tried to enter the temple, the new temple that Solomon built, they couldn't even enter the temple because God's glory was so prevalent and powerful and present. They couldn't even enter that cloud. God's glory cannot be contained by the heavens. God's glory cannot be contained by the earth. In fact, the Bible says God's glory fills the entire earth. And on the night that Jesus was born, God's glory filled the sky in such a way that shepherds were sore afraid. Never seen anything like that before. As you contemplate the reality of Revelation, and we joke about it, we've been in Revelation on Wednesday nights for 10 years, but strange-looking creatures fly around the throne of God, and all they cry out is God's glory. God's glory. God's glory. And so look at David, what he wrote in verse 11. He says, they will tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Look, people know the glory of God when they experience his mighty actions. And you're in church today. Have you experienced a mighty action of your sin being forgiven? If you've experienced that, then you know what? A snippet of God's glory. A snippet. Look in verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. People who know the glory of God look into life around them and see what's going on. They see the beauty of the kingdom of God, and they conclude this, that God's kingdom will never end, and I want to be a part of that kingdom. When will your kingdom end? Do you know? But is it going to end? It is. But God's kingdom never ends. And so people know the glory of God when they experience His promises and His faithfulness. So for you and I, we must stay connected to the glory of God. How do we do that? Here's how we do it. Stop seeking your own glory. Just stop it. There are things you do in conversations. There's things you do in your actions. And there's things you do in your thoughts. And you're seeking your own glory. It's time to stop it. All of us must repent of this. I don't care where you're sitting this morning. All of us must repent of this. Repent of God's glory from your own. You don't matter compared to God's glory. God's glory is supreme in everything. It's time for you and I to repent of that mindset and give Him glory in all things. Finally, it's this. Choose to speak of the glory of God. Choose to speak of that. Choose to speak of the glory of God in drawing you to Him to save you from your sin. Contemplate the reality of you without God's glory. Where would you be? You would be lost, destined for an eternity of death. But because God drew you to Himself through His glory, He saved you from your sin. How can you shut your mouth about that? We can't. We got to talk about it. Choose to make those decisions and speak about those things. Our final point today is with our 4G connection with the Lord is this. Stay connected to the grace of God. Stay connected to the grace of God. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts all who are bowed down. You know, this is something I've noticed about myself. I fall a lot anymore. The older I get, it seems like I can't see my feet. And my Tuesday morning guys always tell me what? It'll just get worse. But all of us fall down. We all do. All of us fall down. We make mistakes. We mess it up. And look what David says. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. You see, these people, think about this. The grace of God. Don't miss this. The grace of God. People that know the grace of God, they know the grace of God because they know they get to exist. You see, it'd be easy for all of us to think that we're mistakes based on the mistakes that we've made, but we're not. And God says, you know what? My grace allows you the opportunity to exist. And so people who are connected to the grace of God know it is by God's grace alone they get to exist. Verse 15. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. Look, people who have experienced the grace of God look to God to supply them with their needs in His timing. In His timing. I'm going to go back to 15 again. I think I read the wrong one. 15. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food at their proper time. Growing up as a kid, there are times that we had pretty slim pickings at the kitchen table. But my mom was always faithful to provide something. I remember a story years ago. My mom said that we were at the kitchen table. And remember those black speckled dishes we always had, those oblong black speckled dishes with a metal lid on it? Remember those things like that? I can't remember what those dishes are called. She says, I'll never forget the looks in your eyes, Jeff, when I open up that lid and there is that cow tongue sitting there. It was still provision. God still provided in our time through my mother through a cow tongue. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, look, God supplies. And people who know the grace of God, they understand that God supplies them in whose timing? His timing. Look in verse 16. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Look, people who have experienced the grace of God understand it is only by the hand of God that any and all their desires can be satisfied. You have things right now that you wish to have satisfied because you have desires. But the only person that can satisfy any desire is who? Is the Lord. Stop looking for people to do it. Stop looking for your paycheck to do it. Stop looking for your government to do it. Stop looking for anything else to do it. The only person that can meet your desires and satisfy is who? Is the Lord. Look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. People who have experienced the grace of God, trusted God is right and faithful in how many things? All things. Not everybody is right. Not everybody is faithful. If you're over the age of 5, you've experienced that. Think about this. God is right and faithful in how many things? All things. You've got to believe that. Verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And people who have experienced the grace of God are near to God. Think about this. They're near to God because they call upon him from a heart that knows the reality of their pitiful condition. You may not realize this today in church, but you're pitiful. I'm pitiful. You're pitiful. And we need to call out to God in that kind of truth. As we call out to God from the truth of our pitiful heart, guess what the Bible says where he is? Where is he? He's near us. That's what he's saying. He's near us, okay? Look at verse 19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And so people who've experienced the grace of God have cried out to God in worship to be saved by God. Look, if you're here in church today, I'm assuming you have some experience, reality that you need to be saved. And because of that, you worship him and cry out to him. That's what we do. Verse 20. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And people who have experienced the grace of God have chosen to love God. It's a choice to love. What about feelings? Nope, feelings aren't a part of love. When you choose to love somebody, it says, I'm directing all of my path towards what I love. And God says the first commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so you and I choose to love God even when we don't feel like it. We say, I'm going to love you, God. I'm going to love you, God. I'm going to love you, God. And as you and I choose to love God, we experience that grace of God. Verse 21, my mouth will speak and praise the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. For how long? Forever and ever. People who have experienced the grace of God. Don't miss this. People who have experienced the grace of God cannot help but to praise his holy name. You can't help it. When you've experienced the grace of God, you can't help it. You just want to praise him because you just can't believe where you are if it weren't for God alone. And you want to praise him. I've given you a 4G connection today. That was the last 4G that we connected with. And we're going to do this. We're going to stay connected to the grace of God. Here's how we're going to do that. Listen up. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to contemplate. That means think. Think. Contemplate the reality that you are a needy person. You are a needy person. I'm a needy person. Every person that's ever been born, going to be born, is a needy person. And it is only by the grace of God that we're sustained. He sustains us. It's only by him that we're sustained. Contemplate the reality. Think about this. Contemplate the reality that is only by the grace of God any of your desires can be met. There's no one ever going to meet all your desires more than who? The Lord himself. You've got to contemplate that reality. Think about how many times your frustration, your bitterness, your anger, your depression, your anxiety would go away if you just simply say, God, you're the only one that can meet my needs. You're the only one. You're the only one. Contemplate that reality. And then finally, as you contemplate staying connected to the grace of God, listen, choose to love God because of his grace towards you. Choose to love God because of his grace towards you. And then determine this. When you choose to love God because of his grace, boy, I've been given so much grace by God. When you choose to dwell on that reality, here's what's going to happen. You're going to determine to speak freely of God's grace. You're going to do that. That's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to speak freely of God's grace because you've experienced it. So there's something that came up after I wrote this message. And there's a new network coming. Have you seen it? It's called 5G. And I thought, boy, Lord, we got 4. I'm not sure I can do 5. And so I want to draw upon your with an illustrative thought. It came to my mind this morning. So some of you are going to do this. Some of you don't. That's okay. Some of us are going to have fun with this. Some won't. But if you're at home, probably if you're at home by yourself watching online, no one's watching you, but we're all doing it here, so we're all going to look silly together. Okay? So, I want you to take your hand. This is volunteer if you want. Don't you take your hand, and I want you to cup your hands like this. I want you to peer into your palms, okay? And make sure you're peering into it in such a way that your fingers are tight, okay? Your fingers are tight. right? And as you look in that, what do you see?
Nothing.
You can look up to the light. Do you see anything?
Nothing.
You don't see a thing. Okay? I was like, where's this guy going? He's an idiot. Okay. Well, those are probably true words. So I want you to do something like this. Now you're looking through your eyes, right? You're looking in the darkness, right? Now just crack open a finger. And what do you see? You see a what? A light. Okay, so I'm going to try it again. See a light? And then when it's clear open, oh, look, I can see. And I say, what's that got to do with preacher? Well, here it is. Have you noticed sometime in Worth County you can drive around a corner, all of a sudden your cell phone reception is gone?
Yes.
Have you noticed that? Especially when you go down 5 mile corridor and go south, it seems like you can't hold a phone line there at all. But as you contemplate the reality of what I just shared with you, look, we've been talking about a 5G connection, a 4G connection with God. I'm going to give you a fifth one. It's not in the scriptures, but I'm going to run this idea by you. You take it home, you run with it, and you tell me what you think. I think when we have a spot like this in our life, it's dark. We don't have connection. See that darkness that you're looking at? There's no connection with the light. It's like a cell tower connected to a cell phone. And I think this is true about you, because I think it's true about me. You have something in your life that you want zero connection with God about. You say, no, I don't want God there. And whether that's purposely, because you've been injured or harmed or whatever it is, whether that's purposely or not, but you say, nope, I can't see God in this moment. I don't see him there. He doesn't want to be there. I don't want him there. And here's what I'm going to ascribe to you a thought. What if the fifth G for our staying connected to God is giving? Giving to God every single pocket in your life. Giving to God every, and some of you think, I don't know what you're talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because if there's something that you won't want to bring up around other people, that's the exact thing you don't want to give to God. If there's something in your life that's creating anxiety, bitterness, depression, anger, frustration, you have an emotional response to it, that is the exact thing that you're saying, I want no cell reception whatsoever in that part of my life. If you continue in that path,
what's the possibility of that darkness growing?
I think it's very real. So a thought for have you today. Fifth G, not on the sermon outline. Thanks for making sermon outlines today. Fifth G, are you giving God all? Are you giving God all of you through all of his light captures all of you to stay connected to him? Let's stand with each other and we'll pray. Father, we love you.
We give you praise for Jesus. It's so very
kind, Lord, that you helped us. You helped us in ways that's just impossible to understand. And we
can't fathom how much you've desired to stay connected to us. Lord, help us reciprocate that desire
and connect with you. It's just so wonderful to contemplate, Lord, those four G's and then even the fifth one. Asking the question, am I really giving all of me to all of you? Exposing all of me to your light. Help us repent to you, Lord, from our own glory to yours, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Show.
class. I want to invite you real quick. Got a minute. Sit down for a moment if you don't mind. I want to share something with you. Jerry, I'm sorry about the bulletin mix up. Today after church, we're going to have a Sunday school time and a congregational meeting. And so, school. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. You may remember that we had, I think, three families that we contributed to for our Christmas holiday. I got a note from this one family where you helped with the burial expenses of this family. Here's what they said. Dear Sheridan Christian Church, thank you so much for your generosity and the love shown to our family. Your sweet gift to help with the burial costs for our daughters, Molly and Hadley, is a huge blessing to our family. We feel so loved by your church family, and many we have never met. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Love in Christ alone, Jason and Stephanie Bolton. I did not tell you how much money they needed to bury their daughters. I didn't tell you that. And we sent them $1,500, and that's exactly what they needed. And so God's very good. He's very kind. We also have other thank you notes downstairs. I didn't bring it up for today, but there's another family's downstairs. I put your thank you note in the bulletin board downstairs, but they too were touched by your generosity for Christmas. So if that isn't God working, folks, I don't know how it couldn't be. So anything else you need to bring up today? Keep praying for Kim and the Freemeyers, I think, as they lost Irene, so that's a tough one. So be watchful over them. And again, we're having our meeting today as well, so I want to encourage you to stick around if you can. So next week we're going to be in Romans 1. So if you're going in Romans 1 and start prepping for that, we'll both work through God's Word together. So I love you. Good to see you. Have a good week.